HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan, announcing show number 189, recorded live Saturday, November 28th, 2009. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks Gadgets for Gifts with Richard Campbell.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and it's another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm here with Richard Campbell. For those of you who like Richard Campbell, welcome. He's here. For those of you who don't, press stop now, and I'll see you again next week. No, just kidding. We're going to do a focused show here, Richard. We're not just going to hang out and chat. We're on a mission. We're on a mission, my friend, because it's Black Sunday? Black Saturday? Black Friday. It's Saturday, the day after Black Friday. Black Friday, of course, is the day that everyone camps out at Best Buy to get a laptop for $100. I went to Best Buy, Richard, and I went at 10 in the evening to see if I could get that laptop. I went at 10 in the evening the night before. There were 150 people in line in tents.
Already.
So I went home.
That's crazy.
This episode of Hansel Minutes is the Geek Gadget Gift Guide episode. Say that three times fast. And I said, who better than Richard to come and talk to me about geek gadgets? We've got a list of some gadgets here that we think are the ones for geeks. If you're a geek and you want a gadget, find your spouse or a significant other or domestic partner and let them listen to this show. Maybe you'll get some cool stuff.
That's what we're here for.
We are here. So, and Richard, what is your first item on the Geek Gadget Gift Guide list?
Well, my first gadget would be the PDC laptop.
Yes, the laptop that we did not get.
That's right. The one that you didn't get and I did get, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
are you giving it to me for Christmas?
I'm not, but it would be nice if people did give it to me for Christmas. But I went out looking for the equivalent machine.
Excellent.
And I found one.
Scandalous.
I know. I'm amazing. Because, of course, you know, the Acer makes this machine that they give out at PDC, but it's a custom-made machine. They're not making any more. They aren't yet. But if you wanted to go out – now, let's just talk about the basic specs of this machine. Dual core, up to 8 gigs of RAM, running Windows 7 64-bit.
Right.
Dual touch, and it's a convertible tablet.
Okay.
And it's got one – and mounting for one hard drive in it. Hewlett Packard makes a machine called the Media Smart.
Now, this is not the Media Smart that I'm used to, the Media Smart home server.
No, it's not. This is their tablet. So it's actually a Media Smart tablet, and it is essentially the same machine. The difference being that you can actually dress this one up. So you can actually buy it with more memory in it. You can put an SSD into it. You can put a larger processor into it. So you can spend anywhere between about $700 up to about $1,500 on one of these machines. But if you're after one of these PDC tablet machines, HP makes your closest equivalent today.
$700.
Bare bones. Dress it up, and you'll spend more.
Wow. Well, that's about how much they said it was worth, $600,
$700.
Right. Very cool. So that's the HP MediaSmart. You're sure about that?
MediaSmart tablet, yeah.
MediaSmart tablet, not the MediaSmart home server. Although that home server would be a lovely gift as well for Christmas for a geek.
The actual model number is TZ2.
Okay. We'll have links for all of these on the show links. I'll go and search for each of these. If you are unable to Google with Bing, I will find them for you. Okay, so there's one. So that's a little spendy. My first item is the Chumby. The Chumby is actually an older item from a while back. This is like a little tiny, fuzzy alarm clock with a little Linux machine in it. And they it was about $200 and it was cute. And when I say fuzzy, I mean it was literally, covered in suede. But now they just came out with one that is not covered in suede and fur, that you can get called the Chumby One, and it's $100. Much more accessible. It's got a little 4-inch touchscreen. And it looks like a funny little square. It looks like? It looks like an old style GPS with the kind of CRT curved back.
Yeah.
But it's a widget machine. It's literally something that you can download widgets to. And it's an open SDK, so you can put anything you want on it. And there's, you can have it be a Twitter client. It can show weather. It can play little animations and stuff. It's a little SDK kind of in your pocket. But it's kind of something that you would sit on your nightstand. And this is also one, the Chumby one is different from the original Chumby in that it has a battery. So then it can be untethered. And, I've seen people make continuous integration server monitors out of it. Baby monitors. It's really anything you want. It's a tiny computer. So Chumby One, $99.
Nice.
Okay. What do you got for me?
I'll stick in the, well, you know what? Let's just pick an easy one. I think 2010 is going to be the year of the ebook.
Really? That is pretty easy. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Do you think it could happen now?
I think we're there. I'm honestly, I think 2012 will be the year where they give ebooks away with a subscription to the Wall Street Journal or something of the equivalent. But I think right now between the Kindle and Sony's ebook, there's really no excuse not to own an ebook. Everything you want is there.
What about the Nook that everyone's talking about? The Nook from Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be great when we actually can lay our hands on one. I'm talking about what can you get today that'll be in the stocking for sure.
You know, and I have a Kindle, and I've had a Kindle DX, I had an original Kindle, I've got a Kindle 2 right now. They just released a new firmware like 2 days ago, and now suddenly my Kindle is a very competent PDF reader. Just updated free software, and suddenly I have a PDF reader that I didn't have before.
Nice.
So that right there for me makes the Kindle so much more useful that I can now drop PDFs on it that I maybe wouldn't have. I could take Word documents, save them as PDF directly from Word, and just plug it in, drop them on the device. There's no conversion. It's a native PDF reader. This is something that the Kindle DX had. Now, the Kindle 2 has it. For me, that makes the Kindle a winner over the Sony. But the people that I talk to are, who are into ebooks say that they don't like that Kindle is tied to Amazon while Sony is slightly tied to Sony, but really more of an open reader because it supports the EPUB format.
But I think what I like about the Kindle also is that your ebook has an email address. So I've seen a guy take a whole bunch of documents from all the PDF and then mail them to his Kindle.
Yeah, well, actually, if you don't have them as PDFs, they'll charge you 10 cents and convert them on their own now.
Nice.
So you just send a Word doc and it'll just show up. Now, it doesn't mean it'll look good, but, if you really want it to look nice, it needs to be a PDF. But if you email anything to your Kindle, it'll just show up. It's like 10 cents. It's fantastic. I don't mind that the Kindle is a direct line from Jeff Bezos's wallet into my wallet.
Right.
I don't mind. And I also like that if you lose it, or you torch it, or you goof it up, or you drop it, or whatever, they're all in the cloud. And, you know, everybody trusts Amazon's cloud. I also like that if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, or now Kindle on the PC, the page that you're on is synchronized between all of those devices.
So I can read on my PC for a while, and then when I go back to my Kindle itself, it's on the same mm-hmm. page.
Get on a plane, read for a while, come back, pick it up exactly where you left off.
Awesome.
So, definitely ebook. I have the Kindle on my list as well. So I think we both agree that you can't go wrong with the Kindle, and it's down to like $200 now.
Yeah.
Which means that $99 is coming soon.
And the one I'm after now is the international edition where for your purchase price, it works on everybody's 3G network.
Right. Although if you're not on your home 3G network, you will pay a dollar or so transport fee.
Right.
For visiting another network. So the international coverage map is up on the amazon.com/Kindle website, but it doesn't work exactly everywhere. I mean, most of Europe, most of Western Europe, most of Asia. I think there's some trouble in Australia, though. I've heard that it's not got really good coverage down there.
But it beats the heck out of not working at all.
Well, and considering you live in Canada or whatever that is.
Right.
You know, how was your Canadian Thanksgiving? Do you guys have thanks for that at all?
We did it a month earlier than you. We had more to be thankful for.
That's true. Being from Canada and all.
And all.
Okay. So I talked a little bit about this in my gadget show, but I still think that this is a great device and I'm still using it now. This is the IMO USB monitor. This is a great little monitor. I'm actually holding it here. It's a 7-inch monitor. There's a touchscreen version. The one I've got also has a pivot. It's got a brightness control, and it's crazy. It's a 7-inch USB monitor. I used to have 4 monitors. I took one of them and I put it in my arcade machine, and I've always wanted that extra monitor, and I have ended up putting TweetDeck down on this monitor. So this has been my not quite a monitor monitor. I'll put down TweetDeck, or I'll put my calendar or notes, show notes for doing a show. And recently, since I haven't rebooted my Windows 7 machine in so many months, this has been the monitor where I put the restart now postpone dialogue. It's been down there for a month or two now because I my computer desperately wants to restart and I really don't want it to. So this monitor is dedicated to that dialogue box.
Now this is a little, it's like 800 by 480. It's not that big.
Yeah, it's 800 by, that's about right, actually. 800 by 480. It's quite small. But what's nice about it is that happens to be the size of, a Hulu.com video, and it's also a 16:9 monitor, as you point out. It's a it's got that nice resolution that is appropriate for movies. So I put DVDs down there and watch them while doing email. It's just perfect. It fits nicely underneath your giant monitor. So I've got this like 24-inch, and then I've got the little 7-inch right below it.
Nice.
And it's like $100 or something. It's just a fantastic little device.
That's cool.
It is.
Yeah, no, I think, and inexpensive too. I'm just looking online here. $130 retail.
Well, yeah, and there's also a touch one too.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So you can I hear that there's talk about the touch working with Windows 7, so it could be a really cheap way to at least start fooling around with the touch stuff.
Yeah, and it's about time people started selling independent touch monitors. So that's been annoying to me. I don't want to buy your computer. I just want to buy a monitor with touch on it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want a kitchen PC from HP. I just want, you know, as soon as Dell sells the 24-inch nice quality Dell with touch, it's on. You know what I mean? It's on, man.
Yeah.
I'm so getting that.
That'll be that.
Totally.
All right. Should we keep moving on?
Yes, sir. What do you got?
For getting a little out of the computer toys, but still gadget stuff, the TomTom Go 740.
Okay. This is a GPS from TomTom.
That's right.
And why is this better than the average GPS I can get?
Well, the main thing with this one is that they finally gone with the built-in live service. So you don't need to have a Bluetooth connection to your cell phone for data or any of those sorts of things. It's all in one. So it has your traffic data for your local area right on the map.
Okay. So what is it getting it from? Is it wireless? Is it cell phone? Where's the data
coming from? It's from a 3G system. So you do have to eventually, usually comes with a few months worth of subscription. You do eventually have to buy it.
Okay.
But the reality is these navigation, these navigation systems are now cheap. So you might as well have one. It makes your life a lot better. And then once you throw in the traffic data, these things become incredibly compelling. Now you use it every time. I'm even using it to go home. Right. I know where home is, but the fact that it'll tell me, don't take your usual route, go this way because of this accident, that's really useful stuff.
Really? So GPS is moving away from just finding a way to get somewhere and now telling you the status of the kind of the direction.
Yeah. Of the route that you're on.
Of the route. Huh. You know, I'm not a TomTom fan. I am a Garmin Nuvi fan.
Yeah.
And I know that the Nuvi has one, I think, for $130 now that includes a lifetime subscription.
Nice.
For the live traffic. And I don't know where they're getting that from. Someone implied that it might be from a back channel on FM radio, so it may only work in the US, but it might also be 3G. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a few different ways for that to work, too. I've built into my car, I have one that comes in through XM radio.
Oh, really? You know, I definitely think that the next step for GPSs is the live traffic update, as well as automatically updating themselves. Because I've got a Nuvi that I bought almost 4 years ago, and unfortunately, it's garbage because it was $600 like 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's now the equivalent is $99. Okay.
Yeah.
But if I want to buy a new map, it's $199.
Yeah, that's an interesting business.
And all the while, you've got, you know, stuff from Google where it's going to be free. You can plug it into your Android phone. I think that the GPS people are really panicking. And I suspect that next Christmas, GPSs are going to be a whole other universe. It's going to be live connection, live updating over the web, free maps. I mean, they're getting their lunch eaten by Google, and they need to step up or they're in trouble.
Well, and you've got this battle back and forth between the dedicated device and the all-in-one device. Your iPhone can do everything, except that if you try and make it do everything, your battery life's like an hour. So, that's why I still have a dedicated MP3 player, and I still have a dedicated GPS, because I need those things to work for the tasks they're doing and stay out of the way of my phone.
Hey, everybody, this is Scott coming at you from another place in time. No doubt you probably bump into testing tasks now and then in your work. And you know, writing functional tests is probably not your favorite thing. It's kind of difficult, takes time, and the results can be dubious. Well, get ready to start liking tests thanks to Telerik with the new WebEye testing framework. Building web automation tests is a breeze. You've got code automation with advanced ASP.NET Ajax and Silverlight applications. You can write a single test, have it executed against multiple browsers at once. You benefit from a rich API. There's link support, integration with Visual Studio unit testing, also NUnit, XUnit, and MBUnit, not to mention the free wrappers for Telerik RAD controls for ASP.NET, AJAX, and Silverlight, all shipping with Telerik's new testing tool. One of the best features, the WebEye testing framework, which is developed by Art of Test, is it's absolutely free. If you've already got hooked on WebEye testing framework, start using it right away. Go to Telerik.com for more info. Thanks a lot. I wish that I could update the GPS software or use the monitor in my car. I've got a 2007 Mazda that has a very nice bright screen, except the software that runs the GPS is crap. And I feel uncomfortable putting in a aftermarket GPS because then I say, well, what's this giant 7-inch screen for then?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a shame, but if you don't have a GPS, this is definitely the time to buy one. I think we can both agree on that.
For sure. Yeah. These are mature products now.
Yeah, definitely. So next on my list is something that I don't own, but I've heard so many nice things about it. It's the D-Link G730AP wireless pocket router. This is a couple of years old now, but it's about $40 now. This was $150 at one time, and now it's about $47. This is a portable pocket router. Now, you've used this before, have you not?
I just cooked another one. I carry one with me all the time, except when they're fried. Mm-hmm. In my laptop bag, and the main place that I use them more than anything is in hotels, because invariably I've got somebody, Carl's in the room with me, or my wife's there, or somebody, and we all want to be on internet at once. Mm-hmm. So just that automatic reflex to plug into the Ethernet connection of the hotel and share it over a Wi-Fi connection. It's just incredibly useful. The main thing I like about this particular one, the 730, is that mm-hmm. There's a power cable that comes with it that doesn't plug into the wall. It plugs into a USB port.
Okay.
And then I also carry an AC to USB converter, which I can use for charging anything that'll charge off USB. So the combination of that device and this, I can have this little self-contained Wi-Fi node mm-hmm. without carrying the wall wart, and anybody can access it.
Now, is this something that is only about hotels, or would I use this at Starbucks as well?
I suppose you could use it at Starbucks, but my experience with Starbucks is that, you know, if you've got a card, you can already get on their service, so it's just not that big a deal. The main thing with this one is you can switch it into different modes, right? So one mode is as a NAT router access point. That's the one for the hotel, but you need to have an Ethernet cable that has internet on it to plug into it, right? Hmm. But you can also flip this around. So if I had a device that had an Ethernet port but didn't have Wi-Fi, I can use this as a Wi-Fi client. So it can connect a device to Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this hard to set up?
It's a little fiddly because there's only one Ethernet port on it. So you've got to plug into it to configure it, or you can configure it over the wireless. But you can get it into a state where you don't know where it is, and you basically have to reset it and reconfigure it. But it's the price of being that small. Also, the antenna on it is hopeless. The range on it is minimal.
This is not something that I could have like a small conference and have 10, 15 of my friends over with.
Now, I think that would be pushing the envelope on that thing. For any more than three or four machines, I think you're a little wishful for something quite this small. It's not a lot of range, not a lot of power, but it will work for sharing four machines on the same internet connection.
Okay. And would this be the kind of thing where if I was at a hotel and I had like my laptop, a netbook, and let's say a cell phone that had Wi-Fi, this would be a good thing that I could use this for?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're exactly describing the scenario where you would use one of these.
It sounds like $40 on Amazon. It sounds like a heck of a deal.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong. And I have burned a couple of them up. But all of these really lightweight wireless devices, they eventually fail, right? Okay. I mean, I can't tell you how many little Linksys nodes I've gone through over the years. Like, none of them last forever. So just be prepared for the fact that after a year or two, if you use it regularly, it'll be cooked.
Hmm. And not literally burned up, but it'll just die one day.
One day it won't respond anymore.
Hmm. Crazy. All right. Well, that sounds like a plus for me. I'm going to get that.
Awesome.
Now, you had a video camera on your list.
You
had a little portable camera.
I'm a fan of the Flip, and my wife just got the Ultra HD, and she's crazy about it. And I think the big thing with this one is that there's a lot of small video cameras. No two ways about it, right? There's lots of different video cameras that are made. what I like about the particular this flip, it works well with the regular mortals. It's got a USB port on it. You plug it in. It's got its drivers on it. It's dirt simple to set up, and you can get these videos out of it very easily. The battery life on it's outstanding. So we dragged one to Nepal and back and took all kinds of little videos with it, and it served extremely well.
Now, this is the Ultra HD or the Mino HD?
She's got an Ultra HD. Which
what is the difference between the Mino and the Ultra?
I'm not really sure, but the Ultra was sort of the top of the line, and I have heard a few folks complaining that it has problems, but I haven't found any. Like it's always served just fine for us.
Okay, I'm looking at their website here. It looks like they're both the Mino HD and the Ultra HD are both about $199. The Mino's got 4 gigs, and the Ultra's got 8 gigs, which means the Mino will do an hour, and the Ultra will do 2 hours. It looks like the real difference is that the Ultra is over an inch thick and the Mino is almost a half an inch thick. So it really is about size, it appears.
Yeah. But either way, these things are the size of a deck of cards, really. They're small.
Yeah. And they'll both do 720p full HD. Now, I've had the Ultra, the original Ultra.
Right.
And I had the Mino, and then I got the Mino HD, and I sent them all back. And I bought a Creative Vado, V-A-D-O, HD camera. I actually wrote this up on my blog, and I felt that the low light on the Vado was better. And you can get a Vado now for $100 on Amazon, at least, maybe a week, until the price goes up, on Amazon.com, at least in the U.S. I saw this up there for $99. So there's options between the Flip and the Mino and the Flip, the Mino and the Vado, and I've seen them all. At different price points. So I think that you got to keep an eye. No, never pay retail for one of these little tiny camcorders because you really can find good deals on them.
Sure.
Did you pay retail?
No, I think we got a pretty good. We got picked this one up at a Costco for less.
Very cool. Yeah, I've seen them $130, $129.
Yeah.
You should be able to get $40-$50 off, definitely. Okay.
Now, not to override you, but on the other end of the spectrum for video cameras, the Canon EOS 5D Mark II.
This is a SLR camera that also does HD?
Yes, and a 1080p HD. But the big thing is suddenly you have this camera able to do these beautiful HD recordings, and you put different lenses on it. So, serious filmmakers are starting to use this SLR. As their recording camera, just because the lenses offer such incredible ability to do outstanding shots. But this is not a trivial acquisition. The body by itself is about $2,000, and you really should spend about $1,000 or so on a lens or two or three. And, so it's not a lightweight purchase, but unbelievable what folks are doing with the 5D. It is really a stunning camera. And even as a camera, I had a chance to play with one. I do not own one, but I did get a chance to play with one. And the 21 megapixel sensor, it's so light sensitive that with a decent aspherical lens in indoor lighting without a flash, I was actually able to crank the exposure up so much I overexposed on indoor lighting. So it's just really the kind of camera where if you take the time to learn to use it, And the price of it doesn't kill you. This is a camera that will get pictures of your kids you couldn't get any other way.
And how much would something like this cost?
About $22,000, $2,500 for the body, depending on how well you shop, and $1,000 or so for a good lens.
Wow. That is a lot of money.
It's an expensive toy.
And this is the thing. Pete Brown, who's on my team at Microsoft, has this really great HD camera. And recently my, Creative Vado's battery died in the middle of a shoot and I switched over to his, and you can go to Channel 9 and you can guess which of the HD videos that we shot were done with the $100 camera and which one were done with the $1,200 camera. And it's hard to quantify what's better about, the $1,000 camera, but it is better. It is unquestionably better. But, I'm not sure. It's like, is it clearer? Is it more natural, better color? I don't know what it is, but it just seems to have something that the $100 one doesn't work. The question is that something, worth $1,000?
Right.
And I am notoriously cheap, and it would have to be freaking amazing, for me to justify that kind of money. And then you just said yours is $2,200, If I were a professional, I could do it, but man, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you're not going to get done with a Canon like that for less than $3,000.
Right. And then the other point is that this is not just a camera that I pick up and for $3,000, I'm awesome. This means $3,000 and some classes at the local community college about aperture and shutter speed.
That's right. If you, awesome. Well, and the reality, of course, it has all those automatic modes, mm-hmm. but, you know,
well, I'd like, be a fool to use it.
Yeah. You own a Ferrari and you drive it in and you put it in drive, right? Like you're just missing out on what it's capable of.
Well, and this is the thing. It depends on what you decide to care about, right? So this actually brings me to another device that's kind of nice. And this is actually something that Jeff Atwood turned me on to. It's the LaCrosse Technology BC9009 Alpha Power Battery Charger. This is a high-end battery charger for people who care about milliamps and how much life they can get out of a battery. It's not just a regular battery charger where you just drop batteries in and forget about them, but it's got all the details on a little LCD, and it tells you about how much current it can provide. It can give a full amp. It can give 200 milliamps and can ramp it up and down. It can charge all cells from 200 amps to 2 full amps. You can go the 9009 or the 9000, which is a faster charger. It's got a nice little 4-column LCD that'll tell you whether or not something's charging. It does double A's, it does triple A's, and it'll do all different brands. And it's also a conditioner. So if you have an old cell, an old battery that you want to bring back, you can go through the discharge and refresh function, and then it'll also tell you when it thinks that a cell is dead and when you should toss it. So if you want to, if you're a cheap bastard and you want to squeeze as much out of a rechargeable battery as possible, then it is definitely the battery charger to check out, and it's only $40.
And you're talking about NiCads and nickel metal hydride batteries, right?
Yes, primarily nickel metal hydrides. You don't really, NiCads are 10 years old. You probably just want to give up on that. Because you can go and get like a Sanyo Eneloop. You can buy an 8-pack for $20 of nickel metal hydrides, and the Eneloops are nice because they're already charged when you buy them.
Right.
So, you know, between that and this battery charger, you could, you know, do your whole family worth of batteries.
Well, and the thing is, if you treat metal hydrides well, they'll last several hundred recharges. So it's also somewhat of an ecological thing that you're producing a lot less battery waste if you do this well.
Right. But of course, you have to keep track of them. And the thing is that we're so built in, just throwing our batteries in a kitchen drawer and forgetting about them, that you can, if you don't treat the batteries with respect, then you're going to start treating all these expensive batteries like disposables, and then they'll get spread all over the house. So, you know, if you're a house that uses a lot of batteries, you got a lot of toys, you got a lot of gadgets, consider switching over to these batteries, and then build yourself a little battery station, or declare some corner of the house the place where all batteries are.
Right.
Works for us.
All right. I've got another one. Okay, I also think that 2010 is the year that the SSD has really come of age as well.
Oh, yeah, deeply.
So, and they're getting cheap. You can buy basic, you know, 32 and 64 gig SSDs for $100, $150. OCZ just announced a 1 terabyte SSD.
Wow.
In the 3.5-inch form factor.
That seems a little over the top, but I think it also makes the point that a drive that small can have a lot of storage. I think people are used to 64 gigs as a size.
Yeah.
I've got a 256 gig OCZ Vertex, which is a fantastic, fantastic drive.
Yeah.
It was $600, and there is no better upgrade for your personal computer than an SSD, flat out.
Day and night, if there's one thing you want to go out and buy your loved one to make that uses computers regularly, it's go get an SSD. You'll be stunned at the difference.
It's obscene. Yeah, it's like a guaranteed 7.9 score on your Windows Experience Index. Immediately, you'll see boot up times. You know, 10 seconds, 12 seconds. You don't have to defrag. If you get the Intels though, now, does the OCZ have the trim support that everyone talks about? Because SSDs start to slow down some single digit percentage as they start getting used, depending on their generation. And then there's a command called trim that's built into Windows 7. So the idea is if you have the updated firmware and an SSD that supports trim, this will prevent that inevitable slowdown and give you the speed that you'd like throughout the life of the SSD.
Yeah, and the OCZ guys are pretty good about good firmware in their drives and maintaining them and so forth. They're quite a reputable brand. And I think that's an important point when you're talking about this kind of technology is you can always find somebody selling something cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's usually not worth it. You know, the
well, you know, but the, don't the hardcore people say that the only SSD in town is the X25 from Intel?
They do, and I think they're a little overboard on that. It doesn't need, it's not quite that severe. There are other vendors out there that are making absolutely capable drives, and like you said, you're using an OCZ. They're excellent drives.
Yeah, I'm absolutely bananas over my OCZ, and I do know that Brad Wilson and other folks that are really hardcore will say that, you know, if you're gonna go and spend the money, then you might as well spend the money on a really, really nice drive, and that means the Intel. But it's almost like saying, you know, I'm going to buy a new car. Well, really, you can only buy a Mercedes. There are no other vehicles. And I think that that's a little over the top. I think that if you can afford it, sure, go for it. But the thing that I like about the 256 gig is that it's not small. It's a little spendy. It's $600. But at the same time, let's say worst case scenario, nightmare scenario, this thing lasts a year, right? That's $2 a day for 365 days of joy, of just pure bliss. You know what I mean? Just give up your latte once a day and you'll just have a wonderful life, or at least a wonderful year of speed. Totally.
And my best gauge that these drives are actually improving in quality and less risky is you're seeing their warranties go up. Mm-hmm. So OCZ is now offering 3-year warranties on virtually everything, 5 years on their high-end models. So bit by bit, they're committing to the fact that these drives are reliable and that the old problems of the earlier generation ones have been overcome.
Now, there is the concern that, of course, when they die immediately.
Yeah, it's absolutely the case. You know,
and that's true. But again, technology has changed such that I'm backing up my computer every night. Right. I have a home server. I ghost it every night automatically. So while it's true that one day this SSD will die and it won't be subtle, the MTBF on these things is what they say 3 to 5 years. So it's conceivable that this thing will last a couple of years. And by then I'll have bought a larger, cheaper one.
Yep. And their technology is definitely moving forward on these, but I think we're at a maturity point now where there are an easy replacement for regular drives.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Let me see. One last thing. This is kind of a silly one for me, actually. And you can give me a silly one too. This is the Paper Pro Nano Miniature Stapler. And, you know, silly to have a stapler on your wish list. But this is a $9 little stapler, and it just is one of these staplers that always works. It seems silly, but it is, it's got a ridiculous amount of positive reviews on Amazon. Everyone I've ever talked to who owns one of these things is like literally impressed with it. It, staples like, you know, 15 pages at a time, even though it's rated for fewer. It's just a great little tiny portable stapler. And I don't like to think about my stapler. You know what I mean? The amount of work that I've put into speaking about the stapler now is probably more than any stapler deserves. but if I thought about it this much in my day to day, like I've probably had bad stapler experiences. And I've talked about it less than this. So I will stop speaking. It's a nice stapler. Buy it.
It's a great little stapler.
It is a great little stapler.
The silly gadget that I've played with lately is at Strange Loop, I actually dropped off a couple of remote control helicopters for flying between the cubes.
Really?
Hard to resist. You know, cube farm life needs entertainment. And when you have that 4 or 5 foot space between the ceiling and the top edge of the cubes, it just opens up an opportunity for helicopter passage from end to end in the room.
Hmm. And, very cool. And it works in Windows 7?
No Windows 7 needed, but these little remote control helicopters they're cheap now. They're like $30.
And you don't plug them into Windows and like, or they're USB powered and then they just charge?
No,
or?
No, they're just regular electric.
Helicopters. Okay. It's just funny now. I just assume that everything charges USB now.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Somebody showed me a picture of a USB pet rock. I'm not even sure why it charges on USB, but it uses USB for its power. I'm not sure why the rock needs power. Maybe it's warm.
Well, and, you know, I do so many USB toys, terrible USB toys all the time. I think the humping dog is like, you know, where are we going with this?
I'm having all sorts of problems with USB because I can't tell. Some things support 500 milliamps and some things have a full amp. I've got this, well, that Garmin Nuvi I was mentioning.
Yeah.
I lost the USB adapter for it. And I want to charge it, but every time I try to plug in one of the random mini USB AC adapters I have lying around, it thinks it's being connected to a computer. So I can't have it plugged in and charging at the same time, which makes it effectively useless.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I can give it more amps, will it realize it's not plugged into a computer?
And just be fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting problem.
I was going to say, or I just go buy the TomTom that you said to buy.
Yeah, you can always go get the TomTom. I also think that coming up this year, we're going to get the USB 3 is going to start showing up with the 10 times faster transfer rate again.
10 times?
Yep.
Yikes.
5 gigabit USB. So.
Well, when that comes, that might be time for me to upgrade my machine. But I'm running the same machine that Jeff Atwood built for me.
Yes.
I've upgraded the RAM. I've added hard drives and stuff. And I think all I'm going to do now is I'll probably add an SSD to this machine. I added the 256 one. I added that to my laptop.
And it made a big difference.
It made a massive difference.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with USB 3. Because, of course, obviously we're going to need devices as well. I think the big thing is going to be drives. That transfer rate, we'll finally have drives that run as fast on USB as they do internally.
Hey, did you buy a Zune HD, or do you guys not have that in Canada?
Not available in Canada yet, no. They are gorgeous, though.
We are using it all the time. The kids were just listening to it in the car. We like the Zune so much because of we have actually 3 Zunes, but you can plug them all into one account.
Right.
So we only have to pay once. And then get as much music as we want. And then I actually went and bought my wife a new in-dash player for her car that will let her plug the Zune in.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's listening to that a lot more than anything else.
Yeah, it's interesting. MP3 players are now ubiquitous. Nobody thinks anything of them anymore. I found my old Diamond Rio, the original 16 megabyte that came out as soon as the court case had been resolved. Remember that? There was a Supreme Court case over MP3.
Oh, wow.
The day that was that it settled in Diamond's favor, I ordered one. So I have like one of the first 1,000.
Very nice.
Yeah, and it's ancient. It's a great big thing with no capacity.
You can put four songs on that thing.
Something like that, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, that is our gadget gift guide. We'll put links to all of that up on the show. And we'll return next week with some more technical content. But for now, I am Scott Hanselman, and thank you, Richard Campbell.
Always a pleasure.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.